Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. If you missed Mina Kimes earlier, subscribe to the podcast and listen to her and her football talk. It was fantastic. Ariel Helwani will join us in less than 20 minutes. We'll talk MMA with him. So we've been talking about this ridiculous thing that the fans did. Voting ESPN, we did. SportsCenter did. A best college athlete. Best college basketball player of all time. Kareem didn't win. He didn't even get out of the round of 32, which is absurd. So it was Shaq. Oh, no, Michael Jordan beat Larry Bird. He lost to Shaq, Kareem did, which is just crazy. Like, as great as all these guys are, Kareem, again, you just got to know your history, man. And there's no excuse anymore. Because one thing is, oh, I couldn't see him. You go on YouTube, you find him. I did it. It took 2 seconds. You know, maybe you don't find the college stuff as easy, but you certainly find the pro stuff, which is the other point that I was trying to make. When Magic tweeted his thing that he was definitely the greatest college basketball player of all time, I'm like, yo, you can make the case he's the greatest, period. Like, all time, regardless, pro, college, you name it. Hell, even in high school, my guy Toby just tweeted me right now, at Sedano, don't forget, 4 state high school championships. Right. He won a championship with the Bucks. Okay. I think about that. Before he even came to the Lakers, he had already won a championship. So like, it's mind-boggling to me how he just gets omitted from all this stuff. You're listening to KSB in Los Angeles. Real quick, before we get back to your calls. Bergman, you sent me a funny text yesterday. Tell people what you sent me.
Well, it was talking about...
My wife on social media saying that I make her watch random games.
Your wife on social media said you make her watch random. I was like, hey, why don't we just have your wife on the show? And I asked her, and she was like, I have your show is way too short for everything I have to say.
She's right. She is. My wife is a better talk show host than I am. And I feel like I'm pretty good. She could go for hours, especially on that topic, the stuff I make her watch. She loves sports though. Like, I don't know how much, and you know what, for all the complaining she made, she was into it too, watching the end of the game with me. Like, you know, it wasn't maybe not as intently as I was, but she did ask questions, right? She was like, cause she likes sports. And she was like, so when this happened, did this happen? Like, you know, she was asking me like specific questions about what was going on at that particular moment. Cause she didn't remember the game. I mean, she watched it, but she didn't remember it. So it just was, yeah. So, you know, for all the talk, tough talk there, Mrs. Sedano.
So, I mean, if it's just that game, fine. Like, I understand, you know, asking questions and being into that game because it was really exciting. Because, you know, the Cavs winning a championship. What are the other – I'm sure there's other games where it's like, why are you watching this?
I was watching
We lost you there,
against
George.
The Red Sox.
Say that again.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I was watching the 86 World Series between two teams I hate, the Mets and the Red Sox. So I don't know. Like, I just was on, right? So I was watching it. ESPN the other day had Roger Clemens' 20 strikeout game. I don't know. I was watching it. It was on, you know, like I told you, I'm a history buff. I love watching this stuff. You know what? She wasn't complaining when we were watching stuff on like Hulu yesterday about like documentaries about old presidents. She was into that.
Well, that's history of like the nation and things like that. So I can understand why most people would be into that. But I love sports too. Obviously, I work in it, but I'm not sitting there watching Roger Clemens and his 20 strikeout game. Or they did Kerry Wood too. I'm not going to watch Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game. That doesn't interest me.
Well, I am a man who loves him some history. Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, young Greg. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. Manny in San Gabriel. Manny, hope you're safe and sound, buddy.
Hey, same here. I hope you guys are good, too. Hey, I just want to make a point, and I have a question for you at the end. In regards to Kareem, if you take the full body of work, high school, college, and pro, there is nobody better all around than Kareem. He is the number one basketball player if you take the full body of work. I do agree he's the best college player, as most people do. I think where he suffered was he was obviously pre-internet, pre-ESPN. In his prime, he was pre-cable TV. And remember, network television wasn't showing basketball till late at night. And, you know, you never got to really see it. I think he suffers from that. My question for you is in regards to Jordan. If you took Jordan in his prime and Magic Johnson in his prime, who do you like? I like Magic.
Ooh, that's a tough one. It's a great question, and thank you for the call, Manny. It's funny. I was watching, speaking of watching stuff, the old Dream Team documentary again recently. And, you know, Magic, even at that stage, man, was giving Michael some competition. Like, now, granted, Michael was better than him at that point, but he was absolutely, you know, keeping up with him. Magic in his prime, I would say, I would give slight lean to Jordan just on defense. I mean, that would be kind of it. Not that Magic was, I thought Magic was a good defender. I think, if anything, people don't give him enough credit. I think he gets kind of looked at as a guy who wasn't a good defender, and I disagree with that. I actually think he was a good defender. You could not have played for Pat Riley and not been a good defender, particularly in that era. So, and Magic had a lot on his plate offensively, but I would give slight lean to Jordan only because of that. Only because of that. Let's go to Anthony in L.A. How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing just fine. God bless you.
Same to you, sir.
I just want to, most of my thunder was already stolen. I just want to say Kareem, by far, is the greatest, is the GOAT of all time because he checks all the boxes. And then I want to say a reason why he don't get the notoriety that he should in the NBA because Michael Jordan got an opportunity to do something that he wasn't. And that's, they took the dunk away from Kareem in college, and then Jordan was able to dunk. When Kareem had the hook shot going on for him, they looked at that as him being soft. Kareem was not soft by far. He banged on a whole lot of powerful centers and would throw down on you. So that's why they overlooked Kareem, because they looked at him as being soft, and he wasn't soft. They only took the dunk away from him. He's the GOAT.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. Great call and great thoughts there for sure, Anthony. Thank you so much. Let me go to Mitch. What's up, Mitch?
George, how are you? Hope you're good and safe and your family.
Yes, sir, buddy. You too.
Two hours doesn't do you justice, but that's my thing. Give me a number to call. I'm joking. You got the better numbers, longer career, better sporting cast in college and in the pros, and he took care of himself. But I think one-on-one, and Will Chamberlain was a great athlete. You know, he was exceptional in other sports, Olympics, shot putting, long jump. I think he would go one-on-one. He'd be the only one that could handle that skyhook, which was, that was his bread and butter.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Robert in Inglewood. Robert, what do you got, buddy? Hope you're safe and sound.
Sedano, how are you, man? I hope you all are safe and sound also. But I want to make some points here quick. 88-2 in college. And a 19-time NBA All-Star, and everything in between it, including Lou Alcindor being Giannis 50 years ago, that nobody ever, like, I heard you mention it, and like another caller, everybody, all the points that people are making are all valid points. Kareem, the skyhook was smooth. He created the smoothest shot, unstoppable shot, and he just went about his business as usual. You know, he wasn't spectacular like Jordan and Magic and these guys. So I think that he just didn't have a look. But out on the court, everybody knew who Jabbar was back in the day. So hands down to me, the greatest of all time.
Robert, you know what else? People forget he was a great actor, too. He was great in Airplane. I remember watching that as a kid. And he fought Bruce Lee, man.
Exactly. That long leg was keeping Bruce Lee off, wasn't it?
Right. Remember that? He fought Bruce Lee, man. That was right. People forget right. That. All right, Robert. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it. Yes, sir. Did you know that, Bergman, that he was in a movie with Bruce Lee?
I did. I've seen that scene before. I've never seen the movie itself.
Yeah. I mean, listen. And he was freaking, I almost cursed. He was freaking funny in Airplane. Like, I don't know if Airplane holds up because I've never watched it again, like, as an adult. But I remember as a kid just laughing my ass off watching that movie.
Oh, Airplane was fantastic. That was a, I mean, that's Leslie Nielsen at his finest right there. So, you know, I mean, yeah, this and all those things. So we talk about, you know, how he's not the most media savvy, but he was great when he was just being, when he was in movies and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, he right. It just was later. I don't know. Like, it just, there feels like there is a connection point missing there for sure. One more before we get to the Lakers roster news real quick. DJ, what's up, DJ?
So, Donald, how you doing, man? Hope things are well. I want to say this. What everybody basically said about him is the fact that it's very true. Not only was his team successful, but he was successful as an individual, winning championships on every level. And what has always bothered me is the fact that when you talk about the NBA, people always want to holler Jordan and Magic and all these other names. But I tell you, go to Basketball Reference and look at his first six years in Milwaukee and his first 10 years in general. Ain't, you can't be any greater than him. The Bucks was a last-place team before he got there. They were the first-place team the next year and won the championship the second year. So, and you look at Jordan before the Bulls, before he got to the Bulls and after he got to the Bulls, and you'll see that Kareem was one of the most dominant players ever. And I want to say one more thing about you and Mason and you guys' little tournament. The other player who's overlooked is Elgin Baylor. Look at his numbers as well. Elgin Baylor was a great basketball player.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, he went pretty early in the draft, and thank you for the call. I'm pretty sure he went, God, where did he go? Like 7 or 8, Bergman? I don't remember off the top of my head.
He went 8. I have it right here. He went 8 to Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, so he went pretty high. Went in the top 10, that's for sure. Before we get into the Lakers roster discussion, because we do have now some confirmation thanks to Laura. But real quick, 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. Speaking of Kareem and all the achievements he had in college, you can nominate yourself, a classmate, friend, family member, etc. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com and provide first your first name, your last name, city, school, and sport. Again, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. You can email with first and last name, city, school, and sport. Or you can post a short video of yourself, the classmate, family member, whoever you're nominating on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each one of our shows will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. So be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. So we have now confirmed, Laura went back and found that on the Windhorse podcast, what we were discussing at the beginning of the show, Bergman, you sent me a link that the Lakers are talking about bringing back Dwight as opposed to trying to go back and bring back DeMarcus Cousins. Look, I just think that's the, just to finish that conversation off before we get to Ariel Helwani, I think that's the prudent move. I don't think anyone really would have a huge issue with that. Now, maybe if you do, feel free to call in at 877-710-ESPN. But I just think from a health perspective, that makes sense. I would have rather have kept him over DeMarcus Cousins, that is, over Troy Daniels, because I think you could find shooters, whereas DeMarcus' skill set for that kind of money, if you can hone those skills, rehab him a little further, and hopefully integrate him maybe next year, I thought that was worth a shot. But you know Dwight can play right away and fit that particular mold. And you're going to need a body, a big body. So I have no problem with them bringing Dwight back.
No, I mean, neither do I. And it's crazy to say that, too, because when I heard that it was going to be Dwight Howard that was going to be coming to the Lakers as the next big, I was like, no, this is not going to work.
Oh, I know. We talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, there was no way in my mind that he was ever going to be better than he had been in the past. Where everywhere he's been, people were like, get him out of this locker room immediately. And he's been great, just fantastic this year, and really with the team. And like when KCP wasn't doing so well at the beginning of the year, he was the first person to be like, hey, lay off KCP. So he just fits into the locker room. So yes, you keep him around, and also the health. I mean, you go with the healthy guy versus the non-healthy guy.
Yeah, all day, every day. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into the world of MMA, UFC. Dana White is a crazy person. He wants to fight in a couple of weeks. He's trying to find a location. There's like this undisclosed location. Ariel Helwani is like the Woj of MMA. So we're going to ask him where the hell this location is. And I want to get into this John Jones thing with him. John Jones, again, kind of falling down into another pitfall. We need to discuss that with him. So stick around. We'll talk about the fight game with Ariel Helwani next. Back on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN in just a few moments. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small business with specialized coverage for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. So I'm going to have this amazing sound for you that I promised at the beginning of the show at 11:30. My guy Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, friend of the program, will just speak the truth. That's all I'm going to say. It's just the most honest thing that I've heard during this entire pandemic, and we're going to have that for you in a second. Now we're joined by, is he there? My guy Ariel there? Ariel Helwani?
Yes.
There he is.
How are you?
There he is. The nicest person at ESPN. You're in that. I know the Levitard show, at least they initially were trying to make you the nicest person, but then some of their crew was saying that you're not as nice. Now, I can attest you are the nicest person I know at ESPN. You're in a virtual tie with Tony Reale and Tim Kirkchin. You are the three nicest people at ESPN.
No way. First of all, I do not belong in any kind of conversation with those legends. You, my friend, have reached out to me time and again while I was entering your world of NBA sideline reporting, when I was nervous as all heck doing Summer League last summer with you and the legend Vince Carter, half man, half amazing. You went out of your way to make me feel like I was a part of the team. I would definitely put you above me. Now it's becoming like a mutual admiration society here, but if I'm being honest, I do not belong in this conversation. And I almost feel like they don't believe that I'm anywhere near the pound for pound nice rankings at ESPN, and that's why they said it just to bust my chops. You know the love.
Oh, that is their move.
You know what I mean?
That is their move. Speaking of basketball, before we get to MMA, and there's plenty to discuss there with you, Ariel Helwani is the best in the business at covering MMA and the UFC. We will talk to him about that in just a moment. But we were having a conversation. I'm just curious to get your theory on this, right? So we saw that SportsCenter was doing this greatest college basketball player of all time thing. And, you know, poor Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who never gets any love for this type of stuff, was knocked out in the second round against Shaq. Magic tweeted out that it's crazy that he wasn't voted the best guy. And obviously this is voted by fans. It's not by pundits. You know, Jay Billis was out there saying similar stuff. And I made the claim, I tweeted under Magic's tweet that, you know, you can make the case he's the greatest, period. Like, forget about just college. Like, you can make a compelling case he's the greatest of all time in general. Why do you think that someone like Kareem doesn't get that kind of love? Do you think it's just era? What do you think factors in there?
I think there's two things that are going against him. A, he wasn't a great showman, per se. He wasn't a great self-marketer. Like Jordan, great self-marketer. Magic was a great self-marketer. Larry had the connection with the Boston public, and you know he was the great white hope and all that stuff. LeBron, certainly a great self-marketer. Kareem, as you well know, very soft-spoken, very quiet, not a big ego, doesn't talk smack. And I think that over time, those people get forgotten. Why do people speak so highly of Muhammad Ali? I don't think a lot of boxing pundits, and I would defer to them, would truly say that Muhammad was the greatest boxer of all time. But certainly when you put together everything from a showmanship perspective, from you know a marketing perspective, from a promoter perspective, from a fighting perspective, he had the entire concoction. But if you actually talk like skill, I think, you know, hardcore boxing pundits would say people like Sugar Ray Robinson or Jake LaMotta, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that that hurts Kareem, especially as time goes on. We look back at people like Magic, who was able to market himself and promote himself. MJ, of course, LeBron, of course. Even someone like Wilt had an aura to him and was a great self-promoter. Kareem just didn't have that. And amazingly, he was somewhat in the shadows of Magic towards the end of his career, as certainly with the Lakers. So I think those things are working against him. But I couldn't agree with you more. One of the most prolific scorers ever had the one, like we're talking like pro wrestling. He had the finishing move that no one could stop, the sky hook. And it's amazing to me that more big men don't use it.
One more basketball question for you. So yesterday, I don't know if you were watching the Cavs beat the Warriors in the 2016 finals that aired on ESPN. I was into it. I was tweeting about it. Like, I think there were a lot of people on social media that were watching the game and were tweeting about it. Clearly, LeBron was watching it because he tweeted right after, and he tweeted this out. He said, thinking about maybe sitting down and breaking down some of my most memorable games and moments in my career. Maybe IG Live or just film it and hold on to it for another time with the hmm emoji. So immediately, the dork in me went into my top 10 games I'd love him to break down. Some were great moments. Some were moments that weren't so great, like the game that J.R. Smith blew. But then I noticed later on this morning as I got up that there were people being cynical that thought that maybe he was trying to steal Jordan's shine. And the way I look at it is, I don't know if those things to me can be mutually exclusive. Like, he could be watching the game. People are showing him adulation. You know, he's emotionally invested in watching the game and the way people are reacting to it, because he's probably never done that, where I'm sure he's watched the game back, but he hasn't watched it back as people, millions of others are watching it back. So he tweets in emotion, like, yeah, this is awesome, I want to do this. And also kind of thinks, while he's tweeting, hey, you know what? They're doing this Jordan thing. Like, I'm in this conversation. Maybe I will have one of these where we'll hold on to the film for later. Like, I think that all those things can be true is kind of my point.
It's amazing to me. Like, the guy could do no wrong. Here he is. Imagine getting to watch that, right? I would watch that in a second. I did not think, and by the way, I saw your tweet like literally 10 seconds later breaking down like his top 10 games. I was like, holy smoke, Sedano has either nothing to do or just can remember all these LeBron moments.
Both.
Quickly off the top of his head. It was very impressive.
Both. Thank you. I appreciate that. I had nothing to do, and I can do it off the top of my head. But go ahead. Yeah. Thank you.
But the guy, I mean, it's amazing to me. Like, everyone always is so quick to say he's disingenuous or he has some ulterior motive. When I saw the tweet, I was like, this would be great. This would be great content. I did not think of the Last Dance and all that stuff that's coming out regarding the 98 Bulls. I just think it's a guy who's probably a little nostalgic right now, who is really missing playing, who's missing being in the spotlight, who is en route, in my opinion, to being the MVP. And it's amazing that he hasn't won the MVP award more often. I think people take it for granted and will miss him when he's gone. And the way he's rebounded from last year is one of the great, especially in, what, year 17, to do that and to be as agile, to play as well and at the level that he's playing at is incredible. And with all the emotion regarding what happened to Kobe Bryant, that on top of everything and meshing all these new players, I mean, it's really remarkable. It's one of the great performances in a single season that we've ever seen. And so I wish people would just start appreciating him for who he is. And look, think about this. I come from a sport, mixed martial arts, where the greatest of all time, arguably, is John Jones, and he can't get out of his own way. He continues to get in trouble. Here you have a guy, LeBron, who has hardly ever been in any kind of controversy. Even Jordan had some controversy with the gambling and Atlantic City and all this stuff. Like, how many controversial things has LeBron been a part of? The decision, what he made, like, a bad marketing move? The guy has been relatively squeaky clean for the last 17 or so years. I know there's been some stuff with the Hummer and all that, but gosh, like, get off his back and just appreciate the guy. And if he's going to give us content like this, stop looking for ulterior motives.
Well said. Ariel Helwani, colleague, friend on NBA, and of course the best in the business at covering MMA, joins us now. You mentioned John Jones, and maybe this is a very simplistic way of asking this question, but you mentioned kind of the issues that he's struggling with again, and I know you've talked about this, you know, forever, basically, with him, or about him, too. Like, what would you attribute the issues to? Like, what's at the core here? And again, maybe that's too simplistic, but what are your thoughts on what the core problem for him is?
There's a lot there. First of all, this is a guy, John Jones, who, by the way, in case your audience doesn't know, comes from a very athletic family. His older brother, Arthur Jones, Super Bowl champion, played for the Colts and Ravens. His younger brother, Chandler Jones, a star pro bowler for the Arizona Cardinals. They're a gifted family, but John Jones wasn't a gifted football player and was an okay college wrestler, but was actually not really going down the path of athletics. He was kind of doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some training, but was actually applying to be a janitor at a business in upstate New York when he got his fiance pregnant. And someone reached out to him and said, you know, you should look into mixed martial arts. You should come to our gym. And he starts training. He really likes it. Doesn't really have a team to train with. So starts looking at YouTube videos and starts emulating the great fighters of yesteryear. And that's really how he got rolling in mixed martial arts. But the reason he got into it was because he needed money, and he was really good at it, and he was thrust into this spotlight very early on and was kind of put on the fast track when he got to the UFC. And perhaps for him, it was just too much too soon. You know, there are other athletes who are able to deal with this, clearly guys who have come over from, you know, high school to the NBA, et cetera. John wasn't able to deal with it. And early on, I think he put a lot of pressure on himself to have a squeaky clean image. You know, he wins the UFC title, youngest champion ever, 2011, March of 2011. He's meditating that morning in Newark, New Jersey. He sees someone getting mugged, an old lady getting mugged. He takes down the mugger, and then he goes off to win the championship that night. This is like out of a movie. Like, the guy was just down the perfect path, and I think he put a lot of pressure on himself to maintain that image when he was also a young kid who was partying and seeing all this stuff for the first time and getting all this love, and I just think he wasn't ready for it. Now we reach a point 9 years later after winning the belt. I think, you know, he has a problem, and I think he's finally acknowledging that. He did in his statement that he put out, he is an addict. And when he told me 7 days before his last fight that he was still drinking in the midst of a training camp, to me, that was a massive warning sign, and no one picked up on it. I'm like, what, you're still drinking now? You're in a training camp. You're about to fight for your belt in 7 days. Why are you still drinking? And so he needs to get some help. He needs to change things. If he goes back to the status quo, if he goes back to his same old routine with the same gym and the same people around him, same city, I fear this will keep happening. I'm sorry for being long-winded here, but I keep comparing him to Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, and you can even throw Lawrence Taylor into that. Guys who were so great who continue to get in their own way. But the difference between him and those guys is he's the greatest of our time in our sport, and he risks losing so much more than them. And if he doesn't recognize this soon, he's going to be really, really in a lot of trouble, because come 40, 41, 42, 43, no one's going to be asking him to fight. No one's going to be asking him to do anything for him, and then what's going to happen? And that's what I fear truly for John Jones.
Don't apologize. That was fantastic, and a perfect way to kind of surmise who he is and what he is at the moment. Ariel Helwani is the best in the business at covering MMA, joins us here on 710 ESPN. Let's talk about UFC 249, the fight that is never going to happen, it feels like, Ferguson and Khabib. For those that aren't as familiar, what has happened? Why are we here? And what do you think the future of that fight is?
Okay, so this is a really crazy story. I mean, they need to do a 30 for 30 on just this fight, the fight that never happened. So this was the fifth time that they booked these two guys. And if you don't know, Khabib 12-0 in the UFC, 28-0 overall, in my opinion, the most dominant fighter in the history of the sport, has only lost one round. That was to Conor McGregor, and of course submitted Conor in October of 2018, fighting Tony Ferguson, who has won his last 12 in a row and is a very quirky character. They booked them four times before. The last time they booked them to fight was 2 years ago. 9 days before the fight, Tony Ferguson is at Fox doing media and trips over a camera cord and tears his LCL. That's how cursed this fight is. This time around, it gets booked for the fifth time, and now it's more anticipated than ever. It gets booked in December for April, April 18th to be exact, at the Barclays Center, and everyone is like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen this time? What's going to stop this fight from happening? This fight is cursed. Who would have ever thought it would be a global pandemic? Who would have ever thought it's this? But come to find out, everything happens across the world. As we know, New York says they can't put on the event, obviously. And so the UFC is now searching far and wide for a place to hold this event. Around 9 or so days ago, Khabib, who trains in San Jose, California, he's from Dagestan, Russia. He trains in San Jose. He goes home to Dagestan because he says that the UFC tells him the fight is now going to happen somewhere overseas, likely Abu Dhabi. So he actually flies from San Jose to Abu Dhabi, lands in the United Arab Emirates, and they tell him, we're about to close the borders, so you should not come here. There's no way this fight is happening. So then he goes to Russia. Khabib is then training in Russia. And then Tony is training in California. He lives in Orange County. And then we find out that Russia has closed its borders. So now Khabib is saying, I can't get out. There's no way this fight can happen. Tony's now saying, I spoke to him yesterday on SportsCenter, you should have stayed in California. Why were you leaving when I was here too? What's going on? So basically what's happening is the UFC is now looking for a location. They want to put on this event. They're hell-bent on putting on this event. They've now offered Tony a fight against Justin Gaethje, top-ranked contender. But Khabib was just on his Instagram less than an hour ago saying, no one's telling me where to go. And I think he's feeling the heat. So he's saying, like, hey, tell me where to go and I'll go. But I don't know if he can even go anywhere because Russia has closed its borders. It's crazy. It's kind of crazy that the UFC still wants to keep this event on when the entire sports world has shut down except for Belarusian soccer. They are, for whatever reason, hell-bent on putting this on. The fighters continue to train. It's unprecedented stuff. Tony says he'll do the fight if they can find him a location. They're talking to tribal lands across America to try to put on this location. But as of right this moment, there is no location for April 18th. And if there's no location, there are no fights.
Good Lord, this is insane. Anyway, Ariel Helwani, he is the best in the business at covering MMA. He is very surely going to be the best in the business at covering the NBA too soon. I assure you of that. He has done such a fantastic job with us in one season on the NBA. Thank you, brother, for stopping by. Stay safe. We appreciate it. You're the best.
Oh, man, thank you. And my best to your family as well. And you will forever be atop me in the pound-for-pound nice rankings at ESPN, if I have a say.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Talk soon. All Take right. care. There he is, Ariel Helwani with us here. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Man, there is a lot going on there with the MMA world. Like, it is... Dana White is an insane person. Like, there's really... I mean, Bergman, is there... I love him. I love Dana White. Much like I love LeVar Ball. But there's probably no other way to describe him other than an insane person.
He's absolutely insane. And it just feels like such a fight club to me now. Like, we'll do it at an undisclosed location. And you have to... And there's going to be no fans. And we can't do anything. I don't know. It's very odd to me. You can't do this.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in a couple of seconds. We've actually done Bergman. We have two things, right? We want to get to the greatest sound I told you that I've heard during the pandemic, our guy, Ryan Clark. And also Carlo has done a version of the simulation of the Mason Ireland Sedano game, right?
Yeah, he has. And the ending was pretty spectacular.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Ariel Helwani for joining us there. Thanks to Mina Kimes for joining us earlier. If you missed any of our interviews today, they were both fantastic with Mina and with Ariel. Go check out our entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Also, want to make sure we get this plugged as many times as we can. Don't forget, 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, a friend, yourself, family member, whatever. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPN LA Marketing. That's ESPN LA Marketing, one word, at ESPN.com. Provide first, last name. Obviously, first and last name, city, school, and sport. Or you can do this. You can just post a short video of yourself, your teammate, your classmate, your family member, or whatever on Twitter, Instagram, using the hashtag 710 Senior Shoutout. That's the hashtag 710 Senior Shoutout. Each one of our shows will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. So be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. So a couple of things. Tonight, as I mentioned yesterday, we talked about this a lot, on ESPN at 5 o'clock, so in about 5 hours and 18 minutes, USC Texas will be on ESPN, one of the greatest college football games ever. Unfortunately, USC came up on the wrong end of that particular greatest game. And it just was wild as I was kind of looking at the highlights. I know we touched on this a little briefly yesterday, Greg, but it's like a couple of things that stood out big time to me. We talked about Reggie not being on the field on the 4th-and-1 with Lindell, where they gave the ball to Lindell. And
insanity.
Just not having him on the field, even as a decoy, right? Like, because that's what you wanted him there. You just had to account for him if you're Texas. And I don't get why he wasn't on the field. But the other thing is, and look, Reggie Bush is one of the top five greatest college football players I've ever seen, that I've ever seen play personally. He is in bleeping sane. I didn't see O.J. Simpson play live. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are a lot of guys, I'm sure, that were there. Like, even Barry Sanders is someone I didn't watch live. You know what I mean? Like, I barely remember watching him in college. Clearly, in the pros, he was amazing. But Reggie is one of those guys. But Reggie made, in the first quarter, do you remember in the first quarter of that game, he lateraled to a walk-on wide receiver named Brad Walker, and Texas recovered there? Do you remember that play?
Yeah, I do. And that was a huge play because Texas got the ball back. And then later on in the game, Vince Young lateraled to somebody on his team, and they actually got through with that, and it changed the entire complexity.
Yeah, that I know people say you can't lose a game in the first quarter. I'm not saying they lost the game because of that, because clearly you have a lot of time. But it's just one of those where you're like, dude, like as I watch the highlights back, I'm like, I can't believe that. I forgot that the guy he lateraled to was a walk-on. Like, what are you doing? Man, and again, I preface that by saying Reggie Bush is one of the top five guys I've ever seen play college football. Like, he was as electric a player as I've ever seen play that particular sport. So,
is that why Pete Carroll took him out of the game for that last play? Because he's like, I mean, I don't want you lateraling.
I doubt it. Like, in the first quarter as opposed to the fourth? Right. Yeah, I don't know about that, but... Just, yeah, it just was insane. So I'm going to watch it, you know, I'm going to watch it, and it's going to be another thing that I can watch. And you know what? Call my wife. Go ahead. If you guys, she's been giving me all this grief on social media about what I've been making her watch. Well, you know what? Tonight we're watching USC Texas, honey. How about that?
Oh, at 5 o'clock. She's going to love that.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll love that. So we can call my wife. I'm curious to see what she thinks about my viewing choices. And I'm sure she's just going to rip me. But whatever, it's fine. We're going to get to the Mason and Ireland Sedano simulation game that our guy Carlo, our marketing guy, played. He basically created our teams, and we're going to talk to him in a second. But before that, I had promised this sound. My guy Ryan Clark on Get Up this morning is just speaking all our languages right now during this pandemic. It is the most Keep It 100 sound I have heard during the entire 3+ weeks we've been dealing with this. Here's my guy, Ryan Clark, on Get Up this morning.
When I find a way to evict the offensive lineman that has taken over my brain, I'm going to be ripped up. As of now, he keeps telling me snacks over abs. Who am I to argue? Ryan, explain that tweet.
Well, you know, Greeny, man, I've just been doing some research since I've been, you know, off on hiatus. And I've just been trying to figure out what cereals are the best, which make the best post-cereal milk. And, you know, right now, Greeny, I'm invested in this research. And there's a fat guy living inside of me. And every morning I wake up, he's screaming, S-O-E, snacks over everything. And I know there's a lot of people trying to find ways to cope with this, and this is my way. I'm going to eat all the honey buns. I'm going to eat all the oatmeal pies, all the cinnamon rolls. Obviously, I'm eating all the cereal. I'm running a little low. I'm going to have to get my wife to go out and grab me some because this is important. When the season starts, I might not know who the best cornerback is. I may not know who the best safety is, but I'm going to know we got all the good snacks and where all the good cereals are. So on Culture Wednesday, we will be fed in the 6 o'clock meeting. It's not going to be you eating your little bagel sandwich, Greeny, with a knife and a fork. Oh, no, sir. We're going to have bowls of cereal, 2% milk, almond milk. I don't care what type of milk it's going to be. And when it's all over after the show, we're going to have us a coffee and a honey bun. I got the new joints. I'm on all the new snacks, pound cakes, whatever you want. It's snacks over everything. And when this is over and Damian Woody and I have our snack off, and see who can eat the most snacks in 5 minutes. And I am crowned the king. The little offensive lineman that is living inside my brain will be happy with his hand held high in victory.
That is the greatest sound I've heard during the entire pandemic. There is no question about that. My wife is on the phone, Mrs. Sedano, who I believe may also be. Look, we are also a family that believes in snacks over everything right now. She's made brownies. She's baked a cake for me. Are you trying to fatten me up?
I baked the cake for Aria. I didn't make it for you.
But you made brownies for the family, and you made a cake for the. I ate the cake.
Yeah, I think you're the only one who actually liked the cake. I thought it was a little dry, but
all right. Now Bergman, go ahead. You were having a conversation with my wife yesterday. Go right ahead and make fun of me. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about how he's been watching all these old sports, and that you're saying, you know, that you're walking in on him watching all these. What is the worst one?
Well, by the way, are you outside like on the swing set? Is that what I hear? The swing set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a combination of me whining and swing set.
Okay. Go ahead. So go ahead, Bergman. Ask her again.
I just want to know he's watching crazy things, old school things that he's watching. What's the worst?
Oh, it was that hockey game that he turned on the other night. It was from like the Florida Panthers or something in the 80s.
What?
96.
That one was pretty. Oh, sorry, 96. It looked like the 80s.
Was it like the Stanley Cup where they went like four overtimes?
I don't even know. I tuned out. I mean,
yes, it was the four overtimes.
I live in fear that, you know, the schedule is going to show like cornhole or something. We're going to have to watch that. So I just, every day I walk in and it's something new.
What do you get to watch? He's watching all these other things. What if you sit down and you say, I want to watch something now?
We watch Frozen at least 17 times a day.
Yeah.
And in between that, so like this morning, I watched My Cousin Vinny. So that was nice.
Oh, that's a great
in another
movie.
Room, turned sound all the way up, cursing and everything. And yeah, I've been watching Frozen a lot.
Now, heard George's.
You were kind of into. Hold on. Can I defend myself here? You were kind of into the Cavs game yesterday. You asked me questions about the game while we were watching it.
Well, what I thought was funny was that you were reacting like it was a live game. So, like, if there was a foul, you're like, oh, yeah, definitely, that was a foul. Yeah, oh, no, that was out. That was out. It's like, you've already seen this. It's 4 years old. and you're reacting like it's the first time you've seen it. But I get it. I get you're a little deprived.
I mean, he's obviously just fiending for some sports right now. My Cousin Vinny is great. At least you got to watch that. That is a fantastic movie.
And it's not like I didn't watch like stuff on, you know, like documentary stuff on Hulu with you yesterday. Don't make it seem like we just only watch sports.
No, it's true. He watched the Hillary documentary with me. And I wanted to watch Tiger King. He said he needed to be in a mental space for that. So.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling Tiger King, honey. I got to be honest with you. Like, I guess we should watch it because everybody else is watching.
Yeah. But I heard you say that you were going to watch Breaking Bad with me the other day, and you haven't done it yet. So
I haven't. I'm going to get to that. We may have a while, so I think I'm okay.
Do that. Go to that route. Go watch Breaking Bad. Don't watch Tiger King. That just
keep
silly.
Working and keep the lights on so we have something to watch.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, get ready. Tonight, USC versus Texas 2006 Rose Bowl. Or excuse me, 2005 Rose Bowl, right? Yeah, 2005 Rose Bowl. So.
Early to bed for me tonight.
5 o'clock. Come on. Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush.
I'm going to bed at 5.
I love sports, but I feel bad for your wife. I mean, I absolutely love sports.
I mean, feel bad?
Yeah.
I mean, feel bad is aggressive.
Because it seems like all you make her do is watch sports. And it's just like...
Well, I grew up with two older brothers, and I've been around sports a long time before I met George. So I actually enjoy watching sports with him, but I do not like watching replays of sports. I think it's the... is a waste of time, I think.
But okay, let's be
watch Friends over and over.
Yeah,
and
I was just gonna say, you watch every episode of Friends 3,000 times.
But it's Friends. That's different.
I mean, for the love of God. And by the way, you could be honest with people and tell them that even before the pandemic, if an old game came on, I would still watch it. Even when there were live sports.
Yeah, I didn't understand it then too.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
Now.
Are you looking forward to the Jordan documentary?
Me or are you asking George?
He's asking you. That's different.
I would watch it. That I like documentaries. Just, you know, as long as it didn't air 17 years ago and it's replaying now, then totally.
No, it's the first it's unseen footage from his last season. Nobody's seen this.
Okay, I'm in. When is that?
April 19th, every Sunday. We should schedule that.
Okay. It's on the calendar. Right.
All right.
Plan.
Circle.
All right. Keep swinging. Keep swinging the child so he doesn't cry. Thank you.
All right. See you in a minute.
All right. See you later. All right. So there was my wife, and you guys got to make fun of me. But you see, I'm my junkie of watching old games anyway. Like, it wasn't like I just have, it's the only thing I can watch now. Well, that and whatever's available on like Netflix or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell that she is not the biggest fan. You didn't give her your Frozen interpretation or your impression of Frozen.
Oh, I do it every day in my house. I just walk around just going,
another reason to feel bad for your wife.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, look, there are a lot of reasons to feel bad for her. But you know what? Not that many, all right? Let's slow down a little bit. All right, where's Carlo? Can we talk to Carlo about the simulation he did with me and Mason in Ireland? So for those that don't know, now I won the vote, right? Like the fan vote was done, and I got 60%. We did a draft of the greatest all-time Laker teams. We drafted everybody. We did a snake draft. I went first. Ireland went second. Mason got the third and fourth pick. Ireland got the fifth pick. Then I would get the sixth and seventh pick, and that's how we did it. And we picked our teams, 10-man teams. The people have spoken. 5,000 votes, basically, and I won overwhelmingly. 60% of the audience, you guys, made me the winner, and I want to thank you. This is my congratulations, my speech to be congratulatory to you guys. I thank you for being real basketball fans and understanding how good a GM I am and how poor a GM Mason is, basically. Because John's team was actually pretty good. But anyway,
John's team is pretty good.
But anyway, so I won. So am I going on their show today to do the top 30 of all time? Are we doing that? Is that like a done deal?
That should be done. I'll make sure. I'll talk to Lindsay and I'll have her set it up for you to actually go ahead and do it. But we are going to be playing the simulations live tonight on, I think it's going to be on Periscope and Twitch for ESPN Los Angeles. And last night when they did the test run of it, it came down to, it was you, Sedano, versus Ireland, and you were up big at 30-13 in the first half, and then Elgin Baylor went nuts for Ireland's team, and he tied it up. It was 41-41, and Kobe hit a game-winning shot with 2.1 seconds.
Boom! Left. That's why I took him number one. Now, Carlo is on the line.
Oh, there you go.
Our marketing guy. You actually created, right? Like, you created the – now, how did you do this? You created the players that weren't available?
So we moved the players around, and the only players I needed to create, thanks to you, George, were only Meta, World Peace, who's on your roster, and Lamar Odom.
Really? You had to create those guys?
Yeah.
Wow. But, that's interesting.
As Greg was saying, I don't know if I was just so desperate for live basketball, but it was a thriller last night. It was so exciting watching Kobe hit a game winner.
Did you, like, jump out of your seat when Kobe hit the game winner for my team over Ireland?
I was getting worried because at half, like Greg said, 30-13, I was worried that your team was just so overpowered that this wasn't even going to be fun to watch tonight. But after Ireland evened it up and we got Kobe hitting a game winner, I felt like, oh, this is going to be so exciting.
I'm excited. I want to watch this. Did you record this, or are you gonna play this out again? What's happening here?
I have some clips that I'll send you, not at the game winner, but of course tonight. You got to tease the audience. They got to give them something to tune in for tonight.
Okay, so where can people find this simulation you're going to play for the teams that Mason and I and John selected?
They can watch it at ESPN Los Angeles on Twitter and on Twitch starting at 7 p.m. George, one last question. What jersey do you want to wear? Do you want Ireland got the classic golds. Mason went with the classic purple.
I want the Sunday whites. Sunday whites. Yeah. Give me the
Sunday whites.
Yeah. I'm in there. All right. So people can watch it. If you want to watch the simulation, I've already won the popular vote. But if you want to watch the simulation just for fun, 7 o'clock tonight on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter and the ESPN Los Angeles Twitch account, right?
Correct.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Miss you.
Definitely. Miss you too, brother. Oh, we lost it. All right, there you go. We're done here. Thanks to Mina Kimes for joining us. She was fantastic. Thanks to Ariel Hawani. He was fantastic. Thanks to Carlo. Thanks to my wife for nothing, for just making fun of me. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to you guys for calling in, tuning in. Stay safe. Stay sound. Stay healthy. We love you. If you missed any part of the show, subscribe to the podcast. Love you. Talk to you tomorrow at 10.